My friends, there is power associated with the scripture. And Jesus said it in chapter 22 and verse 29. Jesus said, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." You don't know the scripture, you don't know the power. He associated the two of them together. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick. I want you to see something very important. You don't know the scriptures, you don't know the power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you there? I don't think there are any missing scriptures in this particular passage, so we should all be reading similar stuff. Chapter 2 and verse 1. "I, brethren," this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, "and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. The wisdom of men is a fluctuating thing. Emmanuel Velikovsky is proof of it. There are very, very few people in the world who are as intelligent as that man was. Certainly none of them are in this room. And I'm not in any way diminishing your brilliance, all of you. But he was exceptional. He was Einsteinian. And the world declared him a fool. I want to tell you that the wisdom of the world will always declare foolish those things which require faith. Velikovsky, unfortunately, became a fool for the wrong causes and the wrong reasons. He was a fool. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ, even though he knew him, knew about him, and knew all there was to know about him. As far as I understand, Velikovsky was not a Christian. But we who are will always be called fools by the world. "There are none so blind as those who will not see," so the adage goes. My friends, God is everywhere and He is right here. And if we will choose to see Him and recognize Him, He will become so obvious that everything else around us will fade into insignificance, and God will be our everything, our all in all. And it is a solid foundation on which we can build. And we will discover the power of God in that He holds all things together by the might, by the power of His word, by the word of His power. He holds it all together. And so our foundation stands. Our cornerstone is true. And we can build lines and walls that are plumb, and we can put a roof on that thing, and we can build a beautiful edifice. The church of God will be built upon this solid rock, my friends, that the scripture of God is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ from beginning to end, that it is inerrant, that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us through this, in this, and that He will use it even now to bring life to our deadness. And on this foundation, on this authority, Christ will make everything straight and true. "You do not know the scriptures or the power," He said to them. What power? I said to Josh in the first service, Josh came back from Bethel, and he's been surrounded with people who have faith to pray for the sick. And I love it. It's wonderful. But there's something better than praying for the sick, you know, to display the power of God. I mean, you may think about it. You say, well, what would display the power of God? Man, if we had miracles in the church, that would just be awesome, wouldn't it? If we had people jumping out of wheelchairs, if we had dead people coming to life. We actually had a guy die in church right here, actually in the back row there. You guys remember that? A number of years back, Jerry, he died in church, literally. He flatlined in church. Boom, gone. We gathered around. We called 911. We prayed for him, and they got him back in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And a bunch of our people went there and got him saved because he was going to die and go to hell right from church. Imagine that. Were you part of the crowd that went over there? I can't remember who it was. There was a bunch of you. Went over there and were like, we're going to get Jerry saved today. We're going to go and get that guy and give his heart to Jesus. Well, he gave his heart to Jesus 6 times that same day because people wouldn't leave him alone. It's great. It's great. And you say, well, miracles like that, if you just saw, the people jumping out of wheelchairs or cancer's just, gone, and that would convince the world we would just have the power of God and the whole world would be saved. Well, it's funny that I don't know that any one of us could ever expect to do more miracles than what Jesus himself did. But Jesus, did he persuade the whole world?
No.
Actually, they crucified him. So just how effective are those miracles? You could see a miracle happen right in front of you and walk away from it and not believe. All the Pharisees did. I mean, the lepers healed right in front of them and they complained that he's doing stuff on a Sabbath. You know what I'm saying? Blind eyes healed, lame people walking, and they're finding excuses to not only... I mean, here's the guy. They've walked past him for 40 years. They know he was lame. And now they're just trying to find excuses to kill him and everybody else with him. Because you know what? This is just wrong. Miracles don't persuade anybody. Miracles are not for the persuasion of the world. Miracles are a blessing to the person who receives the miracle. But I'll tell you what does persuade the world. And I'll tell you what did persuade the world. It's something greater than a miracle. It's the power of God revealed in a person who has surrendered their self to the will of Almighty God. It's modeled for us first in Christ, who gave up everything and came and lived here on this earth as a servant, essentially, to serve us and to die for us. He gave up everything. There's nothing that reveals the power of God more than somebody who is willing to surrender. Now you say, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. No, it doesn't in the world's way of thinking, because surrender is the worst thing, the last thing that you want to do. What does that mean? No, it's all about conquering here. We want to make sure we're on the winning team. We're at the top of the dog pile. We're just, woo, let's go. Jesus says, no, you want to see the power of God? I'll display the power of God. And he shows us exactly how to do it. Let me tell you, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians and displays to us here the power of God. And what is the power of God? Was it that Paul was going everywhere, laying hands on the sick and that they were recovering? That happened in a few places. You read the book of Acts, there's a handful of places where it happened. It didn't happen every time. It didn't happen in every place. In fact, in one of the letters he writes, one of his own traveling companions got so sick he nearly died. He's with the Apostle Paul, for heaven's sake. Just lay hands on him, Paul. Haven't you got the authority of God? Just lay hands on him. Cast that devil out. Do whatever, Get rid of that sickness. Infirmity, I cast you out in Jesus' name. Brr. The guy nearly died. He got so sick. They were afraid he was going to die. Paul even writes it in his letter. So what does that tell you? Was the power of God revealed in the fact that Paul could lay hands on the sick and have them recover? That's not how the power of God was revealed. And I'm not just inventing this theology because I'm having a hard time trying to believe that God is with me when I don't see the power. I'm not doing that. You may accuse me of doing that. I'm not trying to reinvent theology. I'm going back to the original text and seeing that actually my expectation that the power of God should be my laying on of hands all the time, I'm finding out that expectation has been wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong to expect that I could command God and I could master him like some Jedi master masters the Force. I'm serious. We've been wrong, church. We've been wrong. We were wrong in thinking that somehow we can go sit in some temple until we've suddenly got it. We get it. It just downloads and we're in the matrix. I'm getting in trouble over here. Not as supple as I used to be. Derek could probably do it much better. We've been wrong all along. The power of God is displayed in a surrendered life. And Paul proves it to us because he says, I came in fear and weakness and trembling. That's the power of God. You say, well, it doesn't make any sense, Eric. You're just like, whoo, way over my head. Think about it. Have you ever tried to sell anything before? You ever tried to sell a product you don't believe in? Once when I was young, I tried to get a job. Tammy and I had been married for about 2 weeks, and we had moved to this community because we thought we were going to be youth pastors there. But it turns out that the church folded before we got there. So we arrived literally from our honeymoon. We arrived there and they said, well, sorry guys, but the church is, you know, just really going through some hard times. So we lived in a pop-up camper, and I decided to try and get a job because I figured now I've got to earn money. So I went out and we went to one of those career help center things where they try to find out what my aptitudes were. And they said, you'd make a great salesman. So I said, okay, great. Where do I start? They said, well, you can do this. It's commission sales. I hate commission sales. Anyway, commission sales, and you're going to sell the Wonder Cooker. The Wonder Cooker. The Wonder Cooker was a lid for any pot. One size fits all, and it makes every pot a pressure cooker. I'm telling you, it was fantastic. You can shut down your cooking time from 3 hours to like 25 minutes. You could cook the whole, it was before microwaves, you know, it was before all that stuff. This was back in the days when we still used to sell those polystyrene. You remember those polystyrene boxes where you'd be like a crock pot? You'd put your pot in the polystyrene bag and just leave it all day? Unbelievable. You had one of those too?
No, I said, do you
still have the Wonder Cooker? Could you have the Wonder Cooker? Thank you, Janet. God bless you. You're amazing. Should have done it. Could have been a millionaire. The Wonder Cooker. You know what? I hated the Wonder Cooker. I hated the idea of the Wonder Cooker. I hated what the Wonder Cooker was going to do to me. I did not want to be a Wonder Cooker salesman. I don't like the kitchen except to eat, okay? Don't put me in the kitchen. I don't like dishes. Don't like cleaning up. I like to eat. That's it. I hated the idea of the Wonder Cooker. And so I was going to go out and start with this Wonder Cooker thing, but thank God he rescued me. He rescued me. I got a phone call from a friend saying, hey, man, you want to come on a mission team? I was like, yes, let's go. Tammy and I packed up and we were out of there. Bye-bye, Wonder Cooker. Never looked back. Let me tell you, if Paul's product was something he didn't really believe in, why would he put himself through all this pain? Do you know how many times he was beaten for the preaching of the gospel? There's one passage of scripture where he listed. I'll challenge you to find that passage of scripture. Shipwrecked so many times. Adrift in the sea. A night and a day. Hungry, thirsty, cold. Stoned 3 times. To death, left for dead. Rejected everywhere. Pursued. He wasn't doing it for a Wonder Cooker, my friends. There is nothing more powerful than seeing a person who's willing to actually literally lay down their life. And Paul did. He lost his head over this. They killed him outside of Rome on the same day that they killed the Apostle Peter. They crucified Peter upside down. He refused to be crucified the right way up because he didn't want to dishonor his Lord. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. Crucify me upside down, he said. They crucified him because he was a Jew. They didn't crucify Paul. He was Roman, so Romans didn't die that kind of a death. They beheaded him on the same day. Therein the power of the Lord was displayed. Now, there were men who knew the scripture and men who knew the power. Because if you know it's real and you know it's true, you'll lay your life down for it. You'll go years without a paycheck. Because it's not about the paycheck, Carla. What is more powerful than people who are willing to lay down their lives, not only for the cause, but for one another? How is the love of God displayed? It's displayed in that we lay down our lives. No greater love has any man than this, but to lay down his life. And what greater power is there than the power of love? Can you not see, my friends? The scripture must be our foundation. And Christ must be our cornerstone. Or we are lost. And the world will be a dark place. So, that is the end of the sermon. That's why the scripture is important. You say, well, you didn't answer the question about verse 14. Why is that there and not there? That's a good question. I guess you'll have to find out for yourselves. If you have questions that you can't answer, come, let's talk about them. Every question about the scripture has a suitable solution. Everyone. Everyone. And I'll help you find it. I don't know them all, but I'll help you find it. Because there are smart people out there, people who are led by the Spirit of God, who know how to find them. And we'll find those people and get the answers for you. But choose today for yourselves whether or not you're going to believe. If this is the Word of God, if it is the Word of God, then you should know it. And you'll only know it if you read it. Father, I pray that today we would know the Scriptures and your power. In Jesus' name, amen.